Hey, Red.
Hi there, Red.
Welcome to Red Square.
No commie talk.
Just common sense.
From a couple of uncommon gingers. You got that right.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, what's been on your mind, Red?
Well, plenty, but the first thing...
As usual.
The first thing I'm going to get off my mind is this little class warfare.
Huh?
Well, not exactly class warfare. More like class agitation.
Okay, like, are you talking like working class versus upper class?
Yeah,
versus...
pretty much. You know how people are complaining about prices going up, inflation, and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
It is, and it's legitimate. Well, sometimes people in control should just close their mouths.
Now you're talking about something I can agree with.
There we go. So I saw where the CEO of Kellogg's has a money-saving tip to combat rising food costs.
Oh, I think I saw this too.
Okay. Gary Pilnick.
That's the CEO?
Who's the CEO, yes. Who's made more than $4.9 million last year, suggests that consuming a heaping bowl of either Frosted Flake or Rice Krispies for dinner.
Yeah, not for breakfast,
for
folks,
dinner.
But for dinner.
Okay, so first of all, I'm sure maybe only half the people in the world eat cereal. I'm sure there's a portion of the population that doesn't eat it. So now he's saying everybody should eat cereal for dinner.
I can't remember the last time I had a bowl of cereal.
Neither can I.
And I used to love cereal.
I did too.
When I was younger and broke in college, I would do stuff like that.
Of course you did. I would eat Raisin Bran by the caseload.
I was all, like, as a little kid, my parents let us get sugary cereal, which was awesome. And I loved Apple Jacks. But as a grown-up, I loved Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Oh.
Oh, my God, that cereal was the best.
I always still like Cheerios, Honey Bits.
Oh, the Honey Nut Cheerios?
Yeah, those are the best.
Those are legit.
So when I was a kid, and I grew up with a family of six, we never got the sugar cereals.
A lot of families didn't.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, my parents probably weren't doing the right thing.
So we didn't even get the box of cereal. My mother would buy...
Oh, you bought the bottom shelf bag?
Yeah, the bottom shelf bag of puffed wheat. No sugar, just puffed wheat.
And why did it taste even worse than regular boxed cereal?
I don't know. But
there was something about it.
I think it being in the bag kind of set you off in the wrong direction.
Right? It was an automatic red flag for sure.
Gary Pilnick said cereal is an affordable alternative, saying it's a great dinner destination.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Destination
dinner?
Your broke-ass destination. Yeah.
Like, how many people go out to a restaurant and have cereal? I'll have a large portion of that cereal.
Server, I don't want the breakfast portion. I want the dinner portion of my Rice Krispies.
And I'd prefer whole milk, please.
Oh, if I'm going to have dairy, I want the fat and calories to go with it.
So that brings to mind the old quote from Marie Antoinette.
Let them eat cake.
Let them eat cake. Let them eat cereal.
Yeah, this guy's pretty out of touch.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there
a
backlash? I did see just a headline. I didn't even read it.
No, I haven't seen any. I just saw the headline. But the ironic thing about this whole episode is that the cost of cereal has jumped up 27% since COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So cereal is not the great deal it was 2 years ago.
Well, but everything else has gone up too, so I don't know. I see what you're saying, though, and it maybe there's people who are like, man, I can't even buy cereal anymore because it's so expensive.
Right. My whole point was, this guy's making $4.9 million a year. He's not eating cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for real. He's got someone making him omelets every morning.
Or shrimp cocktails.
People eat shrimp cocktail for breakfast?
No. But okay. They do for dinner. Really,
yes. You know? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Get with the program.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, Red.
Yeah, what were we just talking about?
All right, what else? What else is am I broiling about?
Well, you told me you had some issue with the last flight you were on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I read that the airlines made $33.3 billion.
With a B, billion
dollars on baggage. Just on the baggage for flights. $33 billion.
Now, that's what they took in, or that was profit?
That's what they took in.
Okay.
Okay. Still, that's a lot of money.
It's a ton of money.
And I, since I just flew recently, I know why. Because they're gouging you.
Yeah. Well, that's why I do my absolute best to never check a bag.
Yeah. Same here.
Only carry on.
And I thought that was a good solution.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, depending on what airline you choose.
Exactly. And I don't want to say the one I used.
Why did it rhyme with Schmuntier?
Yes, it did. No fun, dear. So anyways, they charged me $50 for a carry-on.
That's bonkers.
$50. I have the bag. I carry the bag. I put it on the rack. I got charged $50 for a rental space.
Yeah, a very small one.
Yes.
Like 2 cubic feet.
I was blown away.
Yeah. It's bonkers, man.
It is. It is.
Like, yeah. Wifey and I don't fly Frontier very often, but when we do, we're just like, okay, let's see what the real price of this flight
right.
is.
Right, and by the way, the not the carry-on, but the regular luggage was $100.
Oh, I believe it.
$100.
I believe it.
That's outrageous.
It is. It just adds so much to the price of the ticket.
Right.
And then, like, you get nothing for free on a Frontier flight.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, would you like water? Oh, if you'd like more than a tiny little cup with no ice, we're going to go ahead and charge you $4
right,
for that.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's they may have low fares, but they have low amenities.
The amenities are very low.
All right, so I had to bring that up.
You had to be a grumpy old ginger about that.
I did.
It's all right. I get it. That stuff irritates me too. That's why we try to fly Delta.
Well, you know what's funny is like you don't expect it. So when you read that they're charging you, you're like, "What? What?" Oh God.
That was worth two whats. That was a double what charge.
That was 25 per what. So, the other thing I
got
saw,
a maximum $25 per what.
Thank God I didn't check my luggage. That would have been four whats.
Everyone would have had to sit through that.
Right. So, the other thing I saw was they're starting to want to go back to the moon, the Americans.
What do you mean, want to go back? They're sending unmanned spacecraft
right,
to the moon.
But they want
a manned mission.
But when I read a little bit and I found out that there are so many failed rocket launches on the moon already that they have to be careful where they land.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So
there's already so much that's been sent up there that kind of crashed?
Yeah, yeah. So the Soviet Union in the 60s sent up 10 rockets that didn't work before the 11th one made it. So that means 10 rockets are sitting on the surface of the moon.
So these 10 failed rockets made it to the moon?
Yeah, but they couldn't land successfully or...
Okay, okay.
And these rockets are not small.
Oh, no, of course not. You know, especially in the 60s, they were using a lot different fuel. It took up a lot more room. That's crazy.
They're saying like that 5 of the last 10 rocket launches since 2013 have failed. So that's 5 more. I mean... Space is not a junkyard.
Have you ever seen a video that shows all the satellites that are orbiting Earth right now?
No, I haven't.
It is mind-boggling.
And they're just satellites that are not being used anymore.
Oh, well, some of them are, but most of them are, I believe, but a bunch of them aren't. And they're just still out there floating around the Earth. And it's bonkers that there's so many and that they don't bash into each other
right.
more often.
Or just fall. So we'll come back to...
The space junk that the most recent one got to the moon from the U.S. but then toppled over on landing and was able to send a few photos back.
Right, right.
Yeah. So,
but that, you know, the funny thing about that is that now it's private companies.
Oh yeah.
Not NASA.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, I think they're happy about that. I think NASA's happy for the kind of boost.
All right.
Well, those were some good ginger snaps.
Just things mulling around the old brain.
Well, let's get into the
sports report. All right. So the first thing that I was thinking about, and I've heard the newscasters talk about this, are the new MLB baseball uniforms.
Yes. The players
don't like them.
Not happy.
Not happy. Right.
They said they look cheap.
They're supposed to be lighter and more breathable. Unfortunately, under the night lights of baseball, they're also kind of see-through.
A little bit sheer. I heard that as well. They don't like the way the letters and the numbers and the just everything. It supposedly feels really cheap rather than being that really nice embroidered.
Exactly. It sounds like a knockoff jersey instead of the real,
real
thing.
One you get at Target instead of having to actually buy an official MLB jersey.
So because of that, and when we see our Guardians play opening day here under the lights, because the game doesn't start till 5.
Due to the eclipse.
It'll be the one time when you can go to a baseball game where you're going to see an eclipse and possibly a full moon.
I saw that joke coming so far away. Oh, you were so happy to get to tell that.
I waited 2 weeks for that.
Oh, man. All right. Well, what about that Cavs comeback?
Oh, my God.
So last week when we sat and met, we talked about the Cavs comeback against the Dallas Mavericks.
And that was when Max Strus was unconscious.
Absolutely on fire in the fourth quarter.
He had, what, 5 3-pointers in the fourth quarter, I think?
Yeah, and then last night, it was...
Well, hold on.
All right.
Because you got to talk about the shot.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
The last second, he got it with, what, 2.6 seconds left on the clock?
From the baseline. So he had to go all the way up court.
Dribbled twice, let it fly.
About 60, 10 feet, 60 feet from the basket.
A 60-footer. Drains it.
Wasn't a banker. Was
no.
Right, nothing but net.
Yeah, that was amazing. I loved it. Strus was unconscious.
And we won the game.
Yep. Beautiful.
So that was amazing. That was heart-stopping.
Yeah, I loved that win. And we've not been playing that great since the All-Star break.
Oh, my God.
You know, we played a lot better before the All-Star break.
The sportscasters were very concerned about the Cavs being out-rebounded. I guess when we played Chicago a couple...
Oh, it was ugly.
Like 72 rebounds to 37.
Doubled us.
Yeah. And so they're saying, they're again, like they did against New York last year in the playoffs, they're questioning our...
physicality.
Right. Our toughness.
That's the word they always use.
Yeah.
The physicality of this team.
Who thought up that word?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's a nice way of calling them sissies, basically.
Yeah, wimps.
Yeah. Like getting pushed around
right,
by people.
Right, right.
So... it was an amazing comeback, though. Again, last night.
All right,
playing the Celtics, best team in the East,
who have won 11 straight.
Yep.
I would have. I actually thought of not watching the game because our two best players were out.
Well, two of.
Yeah.
Max Strus, the same guy that we were just talking about,
right,
sitting on the bench, and our definite best player, Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell, and he'll be out for a couple more games yet.
Bone bruise.
Right. So
platelet-rich plasma treatment. I was like, that sounds illegal, but whatever. They're talking about it on the news.
But the Cavs, and even the announcers were saying that they look horrible offensively.
Last night?
Yeah.
Oh, they couldn't make a shot.
Right.
Darius Garland only ended the game with 17 points. I thought he'd have way more than that because Mitchell was out. But he had so many opportunities to score, both at the basket and from like mid-range and three, and he just could not get balls to drop.
And you saw that at the end of the game when we were up finally. He had two passes. He tried to go inside to
Allen.
Allen.
Yep.
And
total turnovers.
Total turnovers at the end of a game.
Yeah. And, well, we were losing bad. All of a sudden, we get it down to like 14.
No, we were down by 19 points with 9 minutes left.
Yeah. And we get it down to like 14 with around 5 minutes left.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Dean Wade just starts going bonkers.
Who has not really made a name for himself all season.
Yeah, for a while there, he was a starter, but that went away.
That's because Mobley was out.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for a while there, he was starting, but he hasn't been for a while now, and he gets put in the game at the end of the game because, like, we just needed offense. Yeah. LeVert was doing a little something.
And Mobley was out again, so we needed a big man.
Mobley, that was one of the weirdest injuries as well. All he did was dunk the basketball.
Oh, no. Didn't you see it?
But why did he roll his ankle? All he did was dunk.
I don't know.
You see guys dunk all the time and just land successfully.
Right.
This is one of those freak ones where he dunks and then just, oh, his ankle looked terrible, yeah, too. It went all the way to the side.
Let's hope it's not a couple weeks. So, but going back to D. Wade, he was unconscious. Yeah. He was like Strus was a week ago.
It was. That's why it's like perfect to talk about both at the same time, because they both did the same thing.
And you know what was funny? As I really noticed it last night, not so much the week before, but last night I noticed that the other guys on the team are picking up on his unconscious level and just start feeding him automatically.
Yeah. They were, well, especially last night when no one could hit a shot, it felt like.
Right.
And then he comes in and just starts draining. It was like, do whatever you got to do to get this guy the ball.
Who thought we would come back from 14 points against the Celtics?
He single-handedly outscored the Celtics in the fourth quarter.
I know. Isn't that great?
That's
amazing.
So they were talking D-Wade. Of course, we're talking about Dean Wade, not Dwayne
Wade.
Right,
yeah. This is not Miami star.
Yeah, he's the new D-Wade out there.
But
he's got a lot to do to be like Dwayne Wade, but that was sick.
That was sick. And then when finally he didn't shoot a three, Garland went underneath to go with a layup and missed it horribly. Out of nowhere, he comes up and gets the rebound and stuffs
jams
it.
Yes. Yeah, that was sweet.
That was sweet.
I couldn't believe it. At the end of the game, I'd made a bet that Jason Tatum and Darius Garland would both get 20 points. Well, Tatum did that in the third quarter.
Yeah. But he only had 4 points in the second half.
Yeah, but he had scored his points. So I'm just waiting on Garland to get to 20. And I'm like, he's not going to get to 20. So then I went against my heart and bet against the Cavs to win. So then I ended up losing that bet, too.
Right.
It was double whammy night last night. It wasn't too bad. They were only $5
bets. What did you think about the foul at the end? Tatum took the last shot with 2 seconds left, and they say Garland fouled him?
Oh, yeah. No, I was thinking about the jump ball, but that's what led to that jump ball. Yeah. Because they overturned the foul.
Right.
I didn't even know that's how that rule worked.
I didn't either.
That, okay, now it's going to be a jump ball. And then the Celtics tried to get it and call a timeout real quick.
Really? You're gonna wave that off. Well,
0.7 seconds.
You can't even blink that fast.
Right, barely.
But so it was a great win.
Really cool comeback. A lot of fun to watch.
So what's this next thing you want to talk about? Some race in Alaska?
Do you know about the Iditarod?
I know of it.
Yeah. Who? As a kid, I feel like we all had to do some scholastic news story about the Iditarod.
Or read some fiction book, you know.
So the Iditarod, the dog sledding race across Alaska. It's like 1,000 miles.
1,000 miles on a sled the winter.
Yeah. Pulled by what? Like 15 dogs or something like that?
A dog team.
It's happening right now, and that's what got the headlines. This 5-time winner, he has won more than anyone else, Dallas Seavey. He had a moose come and actually encounter his dog team, is how it was said. He said the moose ended up landing on top of the sled, got all tangled up in the ropes.
Oh my God.
Really hurt one of his dogs. And he ended up shooting the moose with a handgun and killing it.
Oh, my God.
And one of the things about this Iditarod is if you kill a big game animal, you're required to gut it right there. Because they want to try and save the meat.
Right.
So he killed this moose.
Wait, he stopped. He's on a race. He's on a race.
The
moose got to stop.
Yeah. Okay. Take me step by step.
You got to stop and gut and basically clean a moose.
Well, first the moose comes and basically lands on / attacks the sled, really messes up one of his dogs. Then he shoots the moose. Then he pulls it, gets it untangled. He's like, I did my best to gut it. It's a real mess out there. And then he leaves it. The dog gets helicoptered to a vet in Anchorage.
Okay.
And it's in critical condition after surgery.
Well, I'm sure he had to wait for the helicopter to arrive.
Well, then he takes back off. Guy's like in first place.
Minus one dog.
Leaves the moose in the middle of the trail. The people behind him said, we had to go up and over the moose because it's literally laying in the middle of the trail. And the, right?
That's got to be one hell of a speed bump.
Right? And the director or the head of the race was like, we're doing everything we can to salvage this meat. But this is far from the first time this has happened. Like, I read about Rule 34.
I didn't know they had 33 other rules. Right?
How many rules does a dog race need?
I thought there was like two. Go and stop.
Yeah. Go as far as you can, as fast as you can. Try not to get hurt. Ready, set, go. No, so Rule 34 is if one of these big game animals get killed, a buffalo or a moose, or I think a caribou was the other one. If another team comes up on you, they are required to stop as well and help you gut that animal. And no one can go past until the animal's gutted and the person who killed it gets to move on. So in 1980...
Could you imagine being the guy behind? Oh, God bless it.
Yeah.
I don't have my paring knife.
Not this again.
Yeah. So stupid moose.
In 85, though, in 1985, Susan Butcher, that was her name, appropriately
enough,
fought off a moose. She was a four-time winner, by the way. She fought off a moose with an axe and a parka. But this big bull moose was hell-bent on messing her up and, like, killed two of her dogs. Like, really messed up, like, a dozen others. And she's sitting there trying to hold this off and protect herself. Then finally another sled team comes up and they had a gun and killed the moose.
So I can understand the axe, but what did the parka do?
I don't know. Just, like, distracted, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. And you don't, like...
It's not like a bull.
Most people don't realize how big a moose really
is. Oh, they're immense.
Like, imagine a SUV... walking around on four legs with giant antlers.
I remember being out in Yellowstone many times. And one, I was like stupid around 25. And I remember seeing a moose and like trying to get as close as I could to take its picture. I then learned that oftentimes the moose are more dangerous than the bears.
Yeah.
Because they're fearless.
Yeah. Well, they're just so big. They're like, whatever.
They're like, their shoulders are 6 feet off the ground.
Yeah, we'll throw you around like it's nothing with those giant antlers, too. So I just, when I read that, I was like, wow. You always hear about the Iditarod being, you know, this giant test of will. And it's like such an endurance thing. And you train for it. Exactly.
Riding all day in the winter.
Yeah, the whole thing. And then I read this and I was like, whoa.
Wow.
That throws another wrinkle into things. And then, like you said, the teams behind it are just like, boom, oh, hey, we're just going to have this little moose speed bump here.
What if that didn't work?
Right? Like, the dogs go over it and your sled hits it and you go flying.
Right.
It would have been no good.
I guess, you have to prepare for a moose hazard, I guess. Jesus.
Well, speaking of large animals, let's move into the... Ginger Report.
Okay. I can't wait to see where this is going.
I just had to throw that out there. Let me ask you a question.
Okay. Red.
I don't know.
Wait, I'm still stuck on the large animals.
we'll get to that.
Okay.
So, have you go down West 117th Street fairly frequently, don't you?
When I have to. I'm pretty aware of what's on it.
Well, one of the reasons that we have all that construction is because a really kind of famous business has been torn down recently.
A famous? Do you mean famous or infamous?
Well, it's often referred to as either one of those things.
Yeah, okay.
Are you familiar with the Lido Lounge?
I am familiar with the building. I've seen it. That's about all I know.
I'm
guessing you have much more information on this.
I do have a little... personal firsthand knowledge of the Lido Lounge. I will say that. But unfortunately, this iconic adult entertainment establishment was torn down. And I didn't even realize it had been closed for as long as it had been.
Iconic, really?
Well, that's how they describe themselves. So I'm just
okay. You're
using their own press release here.
So they're pumping up their own.
Yeah, well,
of course.
It was a you can't really say gentleman's club because it wasn't the place where really sophisticated gentlemen went.
It was like it was a guy's club.
Some of my buddies, kind of as a laugh, used to put on suit jackets whenever they were going to the Lido Lounge, just kind of as a laugh. It was around for a very long time, 1966 to 2023.
Okay, that's almost what, 60 years?
Yeah, 57 years there.
57 years, yeah, okay.
So that's quite a while for any establishment, let alone a adult entertainment establishment, a topless club.
Call it what it is. Yes.
And it was right off the interstate, and that's why getting off work at 117th. I would drive past it every single day.
It's a very nondescript gray building.
Didn't kind of pay attention, you might drive past it 100 times.
And you wouldn't know it was a topless place.
Well, the fact that there's absolutely no windows kind of gives it away. Okay. You know what else gave it away?
What?
Many times, for many months, when my wife and I would be driving past it on our way home from work or on our way somewhere else, painted on the red wooden fence in the back was, in spray paint, it said, "Desiree is a crackhead whore."
Okay, there's no wiggle room with that one.
And, well, they weren't done there. Just a little bit down on the fence, it said, "Desiree is a cokehead slut." And the wife and I drove past many times and laughed to ourselves and thought, I wonder who's Desiree. And at this point, do the girls working at the club have to take turns being Desiree for the night? Right. Because someone might drive by and be like, oh, I like cokehead sluts.
Yeah, or
I need to go in and see if Desiree's working.
Or I need to go in and find out if she's a whore or a slut.
Hopefully one or the other.
There we go.
So we used to joke about that. I'd been in there twice, actually. Okay. The first time I went in,
you go alone?
No. First time I went in, it was $3 to go in.
$3 for a topless place?
Yes, which was that was a sign.
Okay, since I don't know this information, what would be a normal rate for a topless
place? I haven't been in years, but back when I did go occasionally,
$10. $10. So it's probably up to 20. Yeah.
Or maybe more at this point. Who knows? But $3, okay. That's a good price.
Yeah.
And you walk in.
I don't think you're looking for a bargain in this, this
run. Sometimes you get what you pay for.
Yeah, exactly.
It eventually did go up to $5 because the second time I went was years later. Hadn't been back in a long time. Went back in and they were like $5. I was like, hey, I thought it was $3. And he was like, get out of here. It's been $5 forever.
We got rid of Desiree.
So, when I was there, it was not like the classiest of places.
All right. So you walk in there. How many patrons are there?
Not many. Probably a dozen to 15.
All right.
At the most, there were a few different girls, one up on stage who didn't really like take her top off, just kind of pulled her boobs out of the top and let them kind of hang over the top. Yeah, I think it was to hide the...
Yeah, you're getting your $3.
To hide her belly a little bit. Yeah, another, really skinny, possibly, I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what she was up to. She was very skinny. She comes and just, takes her bikini top off and just kind of throws it at me and sort of hits me with it. And then just sits down, buy me a drink, and starts chatting me up. And, yeah, it was quite an experience. but why hear it from just me? Let me share with you a few of the reviews
of
other patrons over the years from the Lido Lounge. There's been quite a few articles out. The Cleveland Scene did one. There was a Facebook posts about it, Instagram posts about it. Like, people were kind of making it a deal. Like,
yeah.
As a laugh, you know?
Well, I mean, 60 years, so obviously a number of people in the area went there.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so and it actually sort of gained popularity as a dumpy, like, freak show kind of strip club, rather than, like, I'm going to go there and really, you know, have a good time and be turned on by these women. That really wasn't why anyone went to the Lido.
The Lido Lounge.
It was more of, what kind of nonsense is going to happen tonight? It's I'm up for a laugh. Let's go.
Okay. All right. So,
first review.
All right.
Great place to have fun on a budget.
Great place to have fun on a budget. So, for all you budget strip club people.
So, okay. Second review. Smells like ham when you first walk in. Do not recommend.
Oh my God. Where does that come from?
I don't know.
I guess it's better than salami, but.
Oh, not good. Not good. So here was another good one. This one was 2 years ago. Best place ever. I met someone that got shot just outside of the establishment. The cuisine was horrible and the drinks were overpriced. The dancers were vapid. Truly one of the best places in Cleveland. 100 out of 10 stars.
A couple things here. I do like the word vapid.
Oh, that's so funny.
If you were shot in a strip club, would you go back?
I met someone who was shot outside of that establishment.
That guy's hard up for entertainment.
Oh, I'm telling you, like, or they're like, oh, it's like lightning. I'm not going to get shot here twice, right. But I just don't think that's how it works.
No.
There's a couple more. Let me.
All right, let's go.
Someone actually posted a memorial on Instagram where they went and set up signs in front of the Lido Lounge and got some mannequins and put, like, bikinis on them and then, like, put tape over where the nipples would be and, like, put a bunch of flowers out there
and
made it a memorial for the Lido Lounge. And then
the picture made Instagram and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's one. It's so funny. Oh, here it is. Seriously, worth the wait, though. I had a couple of different sites open. The cover is only $5. Lap dance is $10. It is always a good idea to go here. It really is like a players club. A stripper once grabbed the Heineken bottle from my hand and threw it at some other dude.
Oh my God. It's not a cultural outing.
No. Just so many, like, funny ones like that. While I was there, I checked out the VIP room. It was not that impressive. Not even really separated from the rest of the club. The girls were okay. Plus, the police came while I was there. Sort of soured the experience for me. And I mean, those reviews just go on and on.
All right, let's hear.
I absolutely love it.
Let's hear one more review.
Well, let me give you two.
All right.
This one's 5 stars. Good food.
Five stars?
Yep.
For a $3 club?
it's up to $5 now.
Oh, but still.
Good food, nice women, friendly staff, good vibes. Highly recommend to anyone.
I don't know that I'm going to a strip bar for food.
No, I'm not really having a burger and fries.
I guess there's that old saying, you know, come in for our wings, stay for our breasts. And
is that really a saying?
Yeah.
Is that for Hooters?
It's something. I don't know. I heard it before.
Okay. 3 stars. The Lido is an interesting place. On one hand, it's a total shit stain of a titty bar and usually has girls that are not too easy on the eyes. On the other hand, this place seems to be where decent lookers go if they get fired from one of them, the classier establishments. There's a VIP area that seems to be open to pretty much anyone who feels like walking in.
It's not a room. It's just a partition.
Yeah. Enter at your own risk and make sure to have hand sanitizer.
Oh, God.
So, the Lido Lounge, the iconic, the infamous, it is no longer. But I have one last question for you about this, and then we can wrap
about
this
up. About the Lido?
Well, about this whole situation. Do you know what's taken its place?
I have no idea. A gas station.
A Bank of America.
A Bank of America.
So, I want to know, in which establishment will more dirty activity take place?
I would go with the bank.
Exactly. Way more filthy, rotten, terrible things are going to happen inside that bank.
They will not call the bank a shit stain of a place.
No, they won't. But there'll probably be more underhanded business and drugs done in it than there was in the strip bar. But I just thought, I drove past that for the last 25 years, and when I saw it got torn down, I felt like it was something Red and Red had to talk about here.
Well, we made it our own memorial.
That's right. And I think it helped make this another fantastic episode of
Red Squared.